This is Sheila Q. You're listening to Dishpan Hands on CJMQ 88.9 FM. On the phone with me now, I have Jill Barber. Now, you want to talk Canadian songstress and somebody who's got strength, style, and staying power? She's your girl. Jill, how are you doing?
I'm so well. Thank you very much, Sheila, for having me on the show. Dishpan Hands.
Yes.
Great name.
Thank you.
I love it.
Well, you know, I have this philosophy that has to do with really living life, and I believe in getting your hands dirty and looking after your own things, and that includes the everyday. So I've got to say I've got dishpan hands, literally and figuratively.
You're not wearing any rubber gloves.
Heck
here
no.
In life.
No. I'm in there.
I'm totally with you.
So you're originally from the East Coast, now currently living on the West Coast, I believe, and on tour. You've got a new album out that's called Chances, and I've been enjoying some of the video and sound clips that I've been able to find online and at the in our database here at CJMQ, and it's fantastic. The flow from one album to the next, and the progression of your style and voice is just amazing. But how about you take us back to your beginnings? It seems like you come from quite a musical family, if I understand correctly, as well.
I do. Well, partly a musical family. My brother is a fantastic singer-songwriter and musician, and he's the one that inspired me to get into music as a young teenager. My parents are not musical. They love music. They love listening to it, but they're not musical themselves.
Not in the spectrum of performance.
I would say maybe the opposite. They're a recessive gene that. we do have a little bit of music in our family history. You know, my great grandmother was a church organist, and there's been some music, but it's definitely come to the surface in my generation, my brother and myself. And so, I think my parents are a little shocked as a result. They're like, to have two children that both pursue music.
Is there just the two of you in the family, you and your brother?
Yes, it is.
So on top of it, not only do there wind up being two children in the family who have this intense love of performing and of music, but you are the two siblings. They're only children.
Right.
Everybody, you're both into it.
They had two chances, and
So, who would you say were your musical influences when you first got started, and how did you get first started performing? Now, I realize that your brother was a great influence as far as he goes, but what about out there, people who were performing your musical influences? Who would you name?
Yeah, sure. Well, when I first picked up the guitar and started to teach myself how to play and write songs, I was listening to I had sort of grown up listening to the Joni Mitchells and Joni Mitchell. There's only one. Neil Young. Definitely, that was music that was being played in my household. But as a teenager, and a kind of an angsty teenager, I get into indie rock. They would, you know, you'd call it. My entry into loving music and becoming really passionate about it was as a teenager going to see all ages shows that would be put on at the local. Like Masonic Lodge or in somebody's basement. And so I listened to a lot of kind of shoegazing indie rock, a lot of Canadian and local stuff. So a lot of bands that were coming through and putting on shows. At that time, I think some of my favorite bands were, I loved Hayden. I loved a band called Polito, Treble Charger. I loved a lot of the East Coast bands like Own and Thrush Hermit and Hardship Post. Like a lot of Canadian indie rock music.
Well, it's ironic that you should mention Sloan. They're my favorite band of all time, and actually are my theme song is "Believe in Me." That's the title track off their last last album. Yeah, they're a fun gang of boys for sure.
They're fantastic and still going strong after 20 years.
Oh yeah, it's which is just that's almost scary to think about. I don't know. Time seems to be racing forward. I think they're up to 11 or 12 studio albums, so that's pretty something. All right. Well, you know, let's take a little musical break. We're going to throw on some Jill Barber, so you can have a chance, all you listeners out there, to sample this absolutely fantastic, sultry, beautiful, strong voice of Jill Barber. And we'll be back with more after this. You're listening to CJMQ 88.9 FM. Perhaps you're listening online at www.cjmq.fm. My name is Sheila Q, and this is DH Radio. Jill Barber is on the show this evening. And now, Jill, currently, what's been going on? We had a chance to talk a little bit about the past. You've got three albums out now. How would you give us a little synopsis of your three babies, your three musical releases?
Yeah, well, I guess I released Oh Heart when I was living in Halifax at the time and put it out on a small little imprint called Dependent Music, and that was definitely my introduction into the music industry. And a couple of years after that, I followed it up with my record For All Time, which is one that I made in Toronto with my producer and sort of closest collaborator, a guy named Les Cooper. And he and I have toured together for the last number of years, and he also produced Chances. And, I mean, a lot of people talk about the sort of big departure from the sort of the sound that I had created on For All Time, which was, I suppose, a kind of a folkier, rootsier sound, whereas Chances has a lot of sort of jazzy, classical, not classical music, like, but classic pop kind of overtones. And for me, it was actually a really natural evolution. And I think with this record, with my most recent record, Chances, I do feel like I've found my voice, found sort of settled into who I am as an artist, and now I can kind of, I'll say, get my hands dirty a little bit more and kind of further explore, what that means and kind of go deeper into it. So I'm actually now writing for my next record, which I hope will come out by the end of the year.
There's something really, I get what you're talking about when you're, it seems like you have, at this point, discovered, it's almost like your musical personality, it seems very well-rounded, because it's a sound, it's a look, there's a real, there's a true comfort factor, like you really seem at ease with what you're doing. Not that you didn't in the past, but there's a something very solid about the tracks on Chances, and well, a big influence, I think, as far as the like, there's something very that will be long lasting as far as this sound and everything goes. It's really really remarkable.
Well, thank you very much. I think the measure of a really good song or a good collection of songs is one that we feel like will have a lifespan, you know. And I've always tried to write songs that, you know, will be listenable beyond like the next craze. And I've never been very good at writing kind of like cutting edge pop hits music, even though I really love listening to that kind of music.
Yeah.
I've sort of taken a different approach and just looked, rather than looking forward, I've kind of looked back to what's worked, what kind of songs have stood the test of time, and so I really love I love old standards. I always have. You can walk into a cafe today and hear Ella Fitzgerald singing, you know, Moon River, and it's even though it's an old song and an old recording, it hasn't actually aged. It just sounds like it sounds like today. It sounds, I don't know. And so I wanted to, with this record, I wanted to try to write new songs, but that kind of evoked that same sort of feeling.
It's the whole idea of something that'll transcend, you know, like I think that's what you've captured. It's not that you've taken a time and recreated the sound of that time because it worked. I think the sound of what you've put out just has a listenable quality that's always going to sound good. I totally get what you're saying. It seems like it's not just the listener that's comfortable. You are comfortable. You sound very comfortable with what you've put out.
It came out a year ago, past October, and so it's been out in the world for a while now, and I'm not bored with it yet. I still feel very proud of it, and I'm heading out on another tour to support the record and to sing the songs and to play them with my band, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. And the live show is also really fun because it's different than the record because it's in a live setting. It's always been that live setting that for me music really comes alive. It's the energy and having an audience and interacting, you know, having musicians interact in a live setting. So I do feel very happy and proud of this record. I'm glad you like it too. I can only hope that people will follow me in my kind of artistic exploration and discovery of what I have to offer. And so it's very nice to get that kind of positive encouragement.
Well, you know what? I think without further ado, we should definitely play a track right now and let people be a part of that journey. So let's continue on with more of Jill Barber's beautiful stuff. Here she is again. And we're back with Jill Barber here on CJMQ 88.9 FM. You're listening to DH Radio with Sheila Q. So, Jill, you're on tour. Where will you and the band be heading? What's your plan, game plan as far as touring goes?
This coming weekend, we are starting on the West, so we have 3 dates in Alberta and a couple, or sorry, 1 date in Alberta and a couple in British Columbia, Nelson and Kelowna. And then taking just a couple of days off before we all gather again together in Montreal on February 3rd. The 4th, we're in Quebec City. The 5th, we're in Sherbrooke, which I'm really looking forward to because I've never played Sherbrooke. And then the sixth, we're in Rimouski.
It's just remarkable. The whole idea of being on tour, it seems so, it's a lot of work and effort and it must require a lot of energy. And yet at the same time, there must be a really big feeding of your musical soul as far as the getting audience reaction. Like, you know that you have fans, you know you have listeners, you know you are building this career and reputation as a great artist. But when you get to actually be there with the audience in front of you, that's a different ballgame altogether.
Yeah, it's definitely what I love most about my job is getting to have the experience of performing on stage and interacting with an audience. And, you know, I'm totally, totally not one of those people that's like, I was born to be on the stage at all. It has, over the years, required a lot of work and just constantly trying to get up the courage to do it. And I'm experienced at it now. I've played enough shows that I'm not, like, crippled with nerves when I walk out on stage. But it still does feel like it feels like I have to dig deep in order to kind of go out and do the show. And so anytime you undertake a challenge where you have to kind of find a lot of personal strength and when you complete it and when you also get like a really great feedback based on your performance, it's like a really satisfying feeling.
Of course.
And I think I speak for my whole band when I say that we all really enjoy playing music together. I'm playing with a 6-piece band, and they're such fantastic musicians. Not like me. I mean, I'm not being modest here. I'm not a great guitar player. I'm a very adequate guitar player. I can sing, and I can write songs, and I can be a part of the band, but my contribution is not really my fabulous guitar playing. So it's really, it's such a pleasure for me to be on stage with really, really talented, brilliant musicians. So, yeah.
Well, it bolsters what you do, right? It's so important to be able to have that proper and quality support. So
It makes a big difference.
Of course. Now, I think it's so exciting that you're coming to Sherbrooke. You're going to be at Bishop's University at Centennial Theatre on the 5th, I believe, is the date. And that's super exciting. I'll be giving out all the information actually on the show about how to get tickets, because I know that there are some left. And it's really a beautiful venue from what I've heard as far as performance goes, it seems that artists enjoy performing there. And I know for a fact, having been a spectator there for many shows, that it's a really lovely place to take in a show too. There's an intimacy about it, in spite of being quite a big hall, and the campus is lovely too. I think you'll really enjoy the area. So that's
good. Well, I can't wait. And you know, as an aside, I'll be spending my last day in my 20s.
Wow.
With Sherbrooke, so I'll be...
Honey, welcome to the dark side. The 30s are where it's at.
It'll be a send-off to my youth.
Wow. Yeah.
The 30s are good, though, you say? Yeah?
Oh, I'm 36 now, so I'm a little over the halfway mark, and I've got to say it's been they've been the best years by far.
It's good.
No holds barred. You just wait and see. It's going to be it's going to be wonderful. All right, well, you can't escape without the final four. So, here we go. A couple of questions for you, Jill Barber.
Yes.
Now, the first one would be, what would you say would be your greatest weakness, we'll do greatest strength first. Greatest strength, if not, or one of your greatest strengths?
My greatest strength. I think my greatest strength would have to be my ability to take risks, I think. I mean this, I was going to say follow my heart, but I didn't want to sound sort of cliched, but I have lived my life, at least for the last number of years, when I kind of developed something happened in my life. I had a turning point where I sort of decided that I could only live happily and a satisfied life if I did what I wanted to do, like if I listened to my authentic voice, you know, that the voice in my head that speaks the truth,
mm-hmm.
and that only I can hear, and everybody has this voice, and it's a question of how you whether or not you listen, I suppose.
It's really ironic that you should bring that up. I've had a huge conversation with friends this week about that little voice and how sometimes we'll ignore it. Sometimes we can't ignore it. Like, I go through phases where my little voice changes, and for a while my little voice was Samuel L. Jackson. And
oh my goodness, you would have to obey.
That was intense. And I was like, he just kept telling me to be cool, be cool. Be cool.
That's good. You know? Hey, that's great.
Which was actually quite good, because I get a little on the intense side sometimes, and I've been known to anyway. See, I was born to be on the stage. I just haven't figured out how to yet.
Oh,
so I'm on radio.
See.
This is good.
Uh-huh.
But great. Then other times, that little voice, I've realized I have put duct tape over its mouth, and then it'll wake me up in the night. So
yes,
then free it, you know. So that, I think, must be a part of a great strength for you too, is actually being brave enough to listen to it. That's
I'm good at listening to it. Because I've learned that. I've learned that you have to. I think you have to listen to it. I mean, and you can ignore it, and you can muffle it for so long, but I don't think it will. Well, you know what? I was going to say, it may lead you astray, but that's okay, because then you'll start. I don't want to get too philosophical here, but I think it's important to whether it's coming from your head or your heart or your gut,
mm-hmm.
to listen to it and to go with it, and even if it feels scary. So I think that is my strength. I have obeyed that voice that speaks to me.
That's amazing. Oh, right now, on the flip side, what would you say is your greatest weakness?
I would say it's one I've been thinking about because I'm it's kind of a New Year's resolution. I'm trying to be more straightforward with people. I tend to not communicate very well when it comes to certain expectations that I have of other people, and I skeet around issues, and I think that it makes me not as good of a leader as I want to be in, mm-hmm. in like with my band or with the people I work with. Like if somebody asks me, do you want to do this? And even if and sometimes I'll feel like I don't want to do it, and I speak in roundabout ways, like kind of like what I'm doing now, and I end up getting tongue-tied, and I end up getting tripping over my own words.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if I just found a more direct way of being honest and frank
mm-hmm.
with people, that my life and everyone else's life would be a lot easier. So this is something I'm working on in my life. I'm trying to articulate exactly how I feel clearly, so that people know. And I think I want to please people. I want people to like me. Mm-hmm. And so, rather than be direct when I should be, I maybe sugarcoat things or kind of tiptoe around issues. So I'm trying not to do that.
Well, I think that's, you know, part of it comes from this idea that sometimes I think we worry a little bit that we're going to hurt somebody's feelings, or we will throw things off, or we'll force our will, or, you know, like on somebody, you know, but, and yet at the same time, I think we're sort of allowed to do that. It's just to be able to find the way to realize.
To be diplomatic, yeah. I think, is that to be diplomatic is a great skill that I'm trying to learn. Because I don't want to be a bitch. There's your swear word. I dropped
one
for you.
That's a good one. Thank you. I like that one.
Is that allowed on community radio?
Sure.
So, I don't want to be a bitch.
So now, what would you say is your favorite candy?
My favorite candy?
Mm-hmm.
I would have to say probably dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's like spicy dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very tasty.
I love chocolate. I love lots of different candy. Minty things, minty chocolate as well. Like I like chocolate with a bit of kind of punch.
With character.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what would you like to be remembered for? There's the final question of the final four.
Well, I mean that's easy. For me, that is so easy. I would like to be remembered for my music. Get older, speaking of turning 30, I think more and more about whether or not I feel I'm making a contribution, you know,
mm-hmm.
In my own way in this lifetime. And I think, though it's perhaps not as noble a pursuit as some who really make a difference in their lifetimes, I think there's something to it. I think that there's something to putting out music or art or writing in the world. There's something about documenting your feelings or your emotions or your work that is worthwhile, you know, to human beings. And as I say, when I write music, I do think about how it will last and how it will hopefully outlive me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if I were to leave any legacy behind, I would want it to be my music, and I would want for it to speak for me long after I'm gone.
Well, my dear Jill Barber, you are well on your way for that.
Oh, well, you're so kind. This has been really nice to chat with you.
Well, we are certainly looking forward to having you here in Sherbrooke. Now, we said February 5th, I believe, at Centennial Theatre. I'll be giving all that information out over the airwaves here at CJMQ to let listeners know how to go and go about getting themselves some tickets, because you can't miss it. We're so fortunate to have you coming into town. I can't wait for the show. I am definitely going to be there.
Oh, good. Well, I hope that we get a chance to meet in person then.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Jill, and break a leg on tour, and we'll see you next weekend. Thank you so much for being on Dishpan Hands.
Thanks for having me, Sheila.
Oh, heart, your signal is breaking apart. Now you can hardly play. I remember a time when so clear that I would always obey. Somehow these days it keeps slipping my mind to wind you back up just to keep you in time. And oh, how I miss those bells as they chime every day. All is fair in love, so I'm just playing fair, but there's no guarantee against injury, and I think we're in need of repair. Oh, the beat.